Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. The Reverend Dr. Rick Serena is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's one gem of practical advice I've heard over the years. It's this: anything you say before the word "but" does not count. Anything you say before the word "but" does not count. I love you, but. Thanks for the invite, but. We really liked your resume, but. Good work on your exam, but. We appreciate the CTCR report, but. My personal favorite, often from Chaplain Denzer, great chapel sermon, Pastor Serena, but. We're almost trained now to ignore everything that comes before the word "but" and instead focus on the qualification that comes after it. And that's the real challenge, I think, for us when we read today's gospel lesson. Jesus tells us a parable of a wedding feast where a king throws a celebration for his son. When the invited guests do not come, he opens that invitation to all who are willing to attend. Then that notorious conjunction appears again: but. But one guest shows up without his wedding garment on, so he is cast out of the feast with the words, "Many are called, but few are chosen." It's an ominous example. We understandably tend to get hung up on the prospect that God may just cast us out too. Am I the one without the proper garment? How will I know if I am? Will my Lord reject me on the day of judgment? Am I called, but not chosen? Let's not be so hasty, though, to jump past the first part of the parable and focus on what comes after the "but." Let's start with the invitation. That comes first for a reason. The invitation in this parable is the very gospel itself. God's people had time and again rejected his word and wandered from him, even rejecting his son. So now he opens his kingdom to all peoples. And the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Lord, he extends that invitation to the ends of the earth. It does not matter where you are from or what language you speak, what ethnicity you are or what country you live in, who your parents are or how you were raised religiously. You are not invited into this kingdom by anything you have said, done, or thought. No, that invitation comes solely because of Jesus Christ, your Lord, and what he has done for you. That eternal Son of God and second person of the Holy Trinity willingly and gladly took human flesh for you, that he might suffer and die in that flesh for your sakes. that he might rise again to defeat death, hell, and the devil forever. Because of him, you have been called into this kingdom of eternal life and salvation in spite of the sins that you inherited from your first parents, in spite of the original sin that you brought into this world with you, in spite of the sins that you have committed since. You do not rightly belong in this kingdom, and you never did. It's by the mercy and grace of God on display in Jesus that you were brought into this kingdom. You never deserve to be here, and you never will. None of us do. You are here by faith in God's promise on account of that unmerited, undeserved grace he has shown you in his Son. And that's ultimately why the "but" in this passage is not intended for you. You are not the one without the proper wedding garment. Far from it. As Jeff Gibbs says in his commentary, those who lack the proper wedding garment are those who deny Jesus, those who reject what Jesus offers. And that, my friends, is not you. You do believe in Jesus, and you do believe in what he promises you. You are now, therefore, arrayed in the most beautiful wedding garment possible, the wedding garment of faith, which is bestowed on you through the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism. You believe in Jesus Christ, and you believe in what he has done for you. And that is why you can stand humbly yet confidently before your Lord on the day of judgment. You know the forgiveness you have in Jesus. That is not to take our sin lightly. It's not to ignore its grip on our lives, and it's not to dismiss sin's dangers. Sin has real, temporal consequences. It damages our families, and it damages our churches, and it damages our public witness. It brings us shame and grief personally. It can erode our faith in the God who saves us by sowing doubts about him and his word in our hearts. We must fight against sin daily, as Luther says, by drowning and killing the sinful appetites at work in us. Yet, dear Christians, the presence of those sins in your lives no more merits your expulsion from this kingdom than the absence of those sins merits your entrance into it. Let me say that again. The presence of those sins in your lives no more merits your expulsion from this kingdom than the absence of those sins merits your entrance into it. Yes, you have failed. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you must repent of those sins you have committed. Yes, you must do good works as a healthy tree produces good fruit. Yes, you must one day stand before your Lord in judgment to account for the deeds that you have done in the flesh. But your Lord promises to forgive you of your sins, and he promises to do so because of your faith in him and what he has done for you to save you from those sins. And nothing that comes before that but will ultimately change the promise your Lord makes to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.